Well, I want to talk today about contributing and about serving. We really have come into a strange place in this world. It seems like there's a lot of craziness out there and a lot of selfishness out there, more than any other time I've seen it. Now, yes, there are great people getting involved with many things and doing some great things, but I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's the schools. I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of antagonizing. There's a lot of negative. There's a lot of desire to please self rather than please others. The whole world is kind of gone that way. I mean, and it's interesting because we approach everything in that sense, that what's in it for me? What are the benefits for me? What can I get out of this? And, you know, and it's interesting is I go on the web quite a bit online, and I go and Google things about maybe, you know, supplements I'm taking or, you know, food I'm eating or places I'm going to do it. And I always wonder, what is the benefit of this? How does it benefit me? And I think people do that with a lot of things in their lives. I think that when people many times look for a church, you know, it seems to be a lot of times, you know, what do you have to offer for me? And don't get me wrong, we want to have a full reign ministry. We want to do whatever we do with excellence. We want to be able to minister to people where they are. But to me, it seems kind of like, I like to hear is, you know, when somebody's looking at a church or whatever, saying, what can I do for the church? Where can I fit in? Where can I serve? Where can I contribute to the welfare of the church? You know, John F. Kennedy said that in his inaugural speech, as far as the nation, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And he started the great service organization, who his brother-in-law, who started that, the Peace Corps, where people took the whole idea of what the military was, but instead of being out to do, you know, military work and battle, they were going out to help undeveloped nations and countries to learn how to plant crops, learn how to stay healthy, how to build something, how to get fresh water. And that was a whole Peace Corps thing. It was about service above self. Myself, I'm a member of Rotary. I've been a member of the Info Rotary for the past 12 years. And what interested me about the Rotary Club, and I was never a big club joiner. I kept thinking about all these different clubs, Rotaries and the Elks and the Moose. I couldn't join anything named after an animal. I'm sorry, okay? But I kept thinking to myself, is this some kind of cult, you know? Is there a secret handshake? Do they just want your money? And obviously when you join something, there is a financial obligation you get involved in. But I joined Rotary because of the model service above self. And Rotary, over its history, has been the key component. For instance, when I was a kid, and I know some of you are a little younger than some of us, when I was a kid, you used to go and get your polio shot. Usually in a gymnasium, there would be polio day where you would go and either get it on a sure cube or get a shot, because polio in my day, in the late 50s and the 60s, it was prevalent throughout the world. It was terrible. And to see what people go through with polio, it was amazing. And a lot of it is because of the unsanitary conditions in E. coli and many other things. There are a lot of nations to this day that don't have good drinking water. And so I joined Rotary, and one of the things that impressed me is the fact that I think it was 1970-something, they started a campaign to eradicate polio from the world. That was Rotary. And as last year, there are only 10 to 20 cases of polio known in the world today. Over $1 billion was raised to be able to fight this over the years. And so Rotary had a hand in eradicating polio from the planet. And I thought, wow, that is cool. But also we're involved. We had our Paul Harris dinner the other night, and we went to and we honored some people. Paul Harris was the founder of Rotary. You know, people ask me, where did they get this name, Rotary? What it was, it started in Chicago, and basically it was business people, And what they did is they would have a weekly meeting with all the different people that were part of this group, their business, and they would rotate from different businesses every week. That's where the name comes from. Very deep, isn't it? But we had our Paul Harris dinner the other night, and we honored some people. One individual, this doctor here in Enfield, that goes down to an island off of Haiti every year. And what they do is they go down there and they help them to be able to get drinking water. They can't dig wells. So how do they've given these kits that take the water they have and cleanse it and filter it so they can drink it and use it. They help educate women and girls when it comes to their health. And I'm thinking about this, and it was just a wonderful thing to see, these acts of service. But to me, I also see the other side of it. There's a vacuum. And so many times people want to know what can it benefit me. Sometimes people join clubs because they're in business. They want to be able to see if they can network. What can benefit me? Sometimes, you know, we get involved in something, or what can it benefit me? And there are some very selfish people out there. Very selfish people out there. But even in the church, even in Christianity, we find ourselves dealing somewhat with this. And I've seen it in all these years of pastoring, and I don't mind when somebody comes and they're looking for something for their family, for their kids. In fact, that's one reason why we emphasize our children's ministry, because we really believe that we ought to have a place that we can serve the needs of families and stuff. But to me, I always appreciate, and there's been so many that have come in here. In fact, many are praise team. Some are new just a few months. Where can I serve? What can I do? Instead of, what do you have for me? And that's the way it should be. The Bible talks about this. There's a number of stories, but I'm just going to read one you're probably familiar with. I've read it before. I keep saying that, but obviously after all these years, I've read a lot of stories out of the Bible. If I didn't read the stories out of the Bible, that would be kind of a weird thing for a pastor, okay? But this is a story about Jesus and his disciples. And his disciples basically were, although in modern day you find their names on things as St. Mark and St. Paul and St. Peter, but these were basically rough characters. They were not followers of God in a sense when Jesus found them. They were out for themselves. They had the normal human traits that you get being raised up. Children today, this toy is mine, this toy is mine, don't touch my stuff. My grandkids, by the way, sometimes, especially the two boys, they fight all the time about what's theirs. He touched my stuff. But these guys, as disciples, had this type of demeanor or whatever. And the story involves a conversation two of them have. Two brothers kind of decided to strategize, and they made a request of Jesus, which caused a problem in the ranks. And as I read this week, there's one phrase that stands out, and I want to hit on that in a few minutes here. But let's read the story first of all. It's out of Mark chapter number 10, verse 35 through 45. It says this: Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, this is not a nice thing. What do you want me to do for you, he asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at the right and the other on the left in your glory. In your glory, by the way. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. They said in your glory, which means they wanted to be part of the glory. They wanted to be seen as prestigious in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drank and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered, and Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drank and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those to whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John, probably because not only did they not like what they did, they probably wish they would have thought of it first. Jesus called to them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great, now listen to this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the phrase I want you to kind of think about for a second here is that phrase, and when you think about it, it's not so with you. As a Christian body, we're talking about this Cornerstone Plus. Last week we talked about the idea of catalyst, and then we talked about cultivator the first week, and now we're on talking about contributing, being a contributor or servant. If you think about it, there is supposed to be a difference between us and those that are not of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good people that don't necessarily claim to be Christians or have religion or anything. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we try to say that Christians are all good and non-Christians are all bad. Well, we're all sinners. The bottom line is, and there's nobody better than anybody, and there's some great people. Some of our closest friends don't follow Christianity, are not saved, and we've talked to them, obviously about that. But the key thing is here, is there supposed to be a difference? Now, let me clarify. It's not supposed to be a difference of perfection. Now, the world dumps this on us. Somebody in the world can make a mistake. Somebody in the world could do something, and they say, well, it's just human nature. But a Christian does it, and they say, I can't believe, and he's a Christian, or she's a Christian. They hold us, and sometimes wrongfully, they hold us to a standard beyond what God intended. In fact, God calls us and talks more to us about sinners saved by grace, that we're fallen creatures. That you read the book of Romans, chapter 1 through 5, you find out that we are fallen people. God does not have that expectation the world puts on us that we will be perfect and never flawed and never make mistakes and never have wrong desires or wrong attitudes or wrong events. But the world does that, and so we get made fun of. And sometimes it's unfair and sometimes it's unjust, but it happens. But in reality, though, there's supposed to be at least a different desire for what we do. There's supposed to be a different attitude in how we approach things. There's supposed to be a different desire in how we go forth in our life. And one of those areas is that we are called to serve and to contribute. We are called to invest ourselves in the things greater than ourselves. We are told that our money basically is not our own. We're stewards of our money, and our money is an avenue to be able to do good. You know, a lot of people think that money is to get all you can and put it in the can and sit on the can and do nothing with it. I'm a firm believer, that as the Scriptures teach, is that money is a resource for good to be used for God. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so to me, I look at finances in a very practical way, but I'm pretty good when it comes to managing our finances. Yes, there is no pension plan in church ministries. There's no, like you have in a government where I can't wait till I retire and I got my full pension. We have to build our own pensions, and my wife and I have done that, and we have set ourselves up to be able to retire pretty comfortably at a certain time. And we manage, and we pay our bills, and sometimes we struggle, sometimes things are tight, sometimes things come up we weren't expecting. I was not expecting a new furnace to be needed, which I'm having to get from my house, and so I wasn't expecting that, but that comes up, and that's a temporary thing. But we look at our finances also, the fact that what can we do? Obviously, we tithe and give offerings to the church, but that's not where it stopped. We try to use our resources to help others. I'll get phone calls from veteran groups and stuff. I got one phone call a while back, and somebody said, "Look, you usually sponsor our program for our annual dinner for the vets, and you usually give us a nice check, and we acknowledge you in there, but we know that you're no longer an elected official in the state of Connecticut, so do you still want to do this?" And I said, "I didn't do it because of that." I said, "Come on by, I'll give you a check." And I always, inform the wife after it's all done, "This is what I've done." But we never squabble over it, because I see it as a resource. Because, and I use that as an idea, and is because as somebody who's following God, is that this home is not my permanent home. I'm just passing through. Good old song hymnal. And the thing about it is that whatever I have, one day it's all going to be left behind. Somebody is going to enjoy what I leave behind. Somebody said with the new improvements we're doing that we're going to have a great investment. We're going to have a lot of equity. I said, yeah, but our kids are the only ones going to benefit from it. I mean, think about it. We're doing all this work. And we say, oh, man, that's a good resale value of your house. Yeah, but we're not selling. We're going, you know, I'm being taken out of there in a nice black Cadillac, you know? The one everybody stops when you go by and you go. Or if you're a veteran, of course, we do this. And I hope that happens because being a veteran. Okay, so the thing about it is that what can we use to be a benefit to others? And sometimes it means that we don't attain great things in life because we're not looking for glory. We're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for that. One of the things that with social media, and I've actually backed off quite a bit, I've enjoyed it, is the fact that I don't put a lot on social media anymore because I just kind of like, you know, if I do some, it's because I want to do it and to benefit other people. But that's part of the Christian nature, is to serve. That's part of the compassion, is to help others. And to me, it's a thing to where if you don't have that, what can I do for others? How can I contribute? If it is, I want to be seen for my position. I want to be seen for my stature. I want to be seen for my education. I want to be respected because of what I've done. Then you're really missing the boat, because part of growth in Christian faith is you get to the place that you don't worry about who knows. You don't worry about being seen. You don't worry about how it appears. You don't give to be blessed or credited by other people. You do it because it's in your DNA, your Christianity, that you are a contributor. You are a servant instead of being served. And so I say all that because I think it's important, because we're talking about Cornerstone Plus. We're talking about, you know, cultivating that relationship with God and others. Talking about being a catalyst, you know, for change. Today we're talking about contributing. This is part of the growth factor when you become a Christian, is, and you can kind of test yourself, am I more about what can I be used of for others, or is it for me? When I first became ordained back in 1982, I remember that you get that reverend, you know, it's kind of cool, and I'm a reverend. And, of course, then you want to eventually become, you know, maybe a doctor, reverend doctor, you know. Didn't ever get that, but the reverend. And I remember when the first day I got my new checks, and I remember putting on there, you know, Reverend Greg Stokes. And then I remember that I got that clergy license plate thing, you know, clergy. And I realized that the first time I bounced a check or the first time I cut somebody off, I needed to take those things off of that. So we come here, and obviously in a formal setting, you know, people call me pastor and stuff, and I appreciate that. But a lot of folks here just call me Greg. And I got out of my father one time had a little issue with people calling me my first name when he would visit. I said, Dad, it's you know, because my dad has earned doctorates, and so we call him Dr. Stokes, and it was always Pastor Stokes or Reverend Stokes. But in all reality, I said, Dad, maybe it's a different generation. But if you come off as if you're the one to be admired, you take away from people focusing attention on Christ. Now, I like being called pastor. It's a title of honor. I'm not a big on the reverend thing. I get called when I pray at big events or whatever, you know. But in all reality, we don't want to take anything away from the focus being where it should be. Because, first of all, I will fail you. I will be human around you. I will lose my cool. Sometimes, you know, people didn't know this about me, but I am bilingual. English and profanity. And so sometimes, don't look so pious, so are some of you. I love it when I'm out places and somebody gets angry and they swear, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry, Greg. No, I would have said the same thing. I thought it, you know, so I might as well say it. So, but the thing about it is what Jesus was talking to these people about, the two, James and John, said, we'd like to sit on both sides. And other plasters are talking about that their mother put them up to this. You know, she had a hand in this. They want to send them both sides. But I love how they say it. When you get to your seat in glory. When I read that, I'm like, they basically wanted to say, in that area where glory is showing, we want to be right there with you so everybody can see us. And Jesus said, first of all, where you're going to be and what's going to happen has nothing to do with me. That's somebody else's decision. But I love what he says there. Okay, you ready for this? He says, are you ready to go through the baptism I'm going through? And they said, yeah, sure. And he goes, don't think so. They didn't have a clue what he's talking about, the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, the mockery, the spitting, the dragging of the cross down the Via della Rosa, to be knelt between two thieves, to have a crown of thorns put on him, mocking. And when they tried to, he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar, and they gave him things that were mixed with spit. And he said, you indeed will go through this. And here's what he was saying. Those who are going to be recognized in the kingdom are the least among you, are the servants. It's not going to be Reverend so-and-so, here's your level. Reverend Dr. so-and-so, here's your level. It's not going to be who had the biggest church. It's not going to be who gave the most money. It's not going to be how much you served in years of service and you got a plaque from the church or from a group. It's going to be why you did it and what's in the heart. It's going to be the fact that you did not live worried about the ties to this world. You just knew that whatever you were, God had given you talents or whatever, you were to use it mainly for serving God and serving others. That's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity isn't about what office you held or what position you held in church. Spiritual maturity is the fact that you don't need any of that to accomplish something. You don't mind the fact of whatever it takes. I mean, as a pastor, some people say a pastor shouldn't do this. You know, if the toilets need to be clean, they need to be clean. If the rooms need to be, the bottom line is position and prestige are not part of the growth character of a Christian. It's about serving. It's about contributing. It's about simply looking at your life as, I'm not going to worry about what happens, where happens. I'm not going to worry about what tomorrow may bring. You may have wins and losses. You may have ups and down days, but you're going to say in totality, when it's all said and done, I just want God to look at me and say, remember the scripture, what it says? We get to heaven. Well done, my good and faithful. Didn't say leader. Didn't have a title. Servant. Servant. And that's why we are blessed in our church, because we have a lot of folks there. Let me give you three areas, and then we're going to close here in a second. And this won't be on the screen. I've added these on during the week after I gave the folks the PowerPoint. Three areas we ought to serve. I'm going to give you some scripture, because this is where your priorities of service should be, okay? First of all, God has called us to serve at our church. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. I say it all the time. If you're out in the public and someone says, where do you go to church? And I've said this for 37 years, every church I pastored. You ought to be able to say two things. I go to Cornerstone Church. Anybody remember what the other one is? And this is what I do. This is where I serve. Christianity and church is not a spectator sport. VBS is coming up, and I said we're making this a church-wide event because we all ought to be invested in children's lives, not just a few people who teach on Sundays. Serving your church. Second of all, is serve in your community. Romans 15:2 says, each of us should please our neighbors for the good and to build them up. And I think what he's referring to there is the fact that we ought to be doing things for our neighbors, for our community. That word neighbors there could be the word community. And I think we ought to be. You know, I know that when I was a young growing church, I heard preachers say that the only place you ought to volunteer ought to be in church. The only thing you ought to do is, missions ought to be always about going out and building churches and winning people to Christ. All for that. But it also is about finding what's interesting, what cause, and sometimes you find your cause by some of the things you've gone through. But volunteering in a community, cleanup days, joining organizations that do service throughout the world. Get involved. People say, should Christians get involved with public service and running for office? Yes, if God has gifted you, you ought to do that. You ought to be on a school committee. You ought to be on an ad hoc committee. If they're looking for people to help with something in your community, in government, volunteer your time. Yeah, get out there and do something. Be a good neighbor. I know some pastors I used to talk to say, I hate when they have these walks for MS or breast cancer awareness on Sunday mornings where people get taken out of church. My thing is that, first of all, you ought to be thankful that our people are out there being representatives in the community by doing those. And then the last place is to serve in the world. It says there in Matthew 18, or 28, 19 to 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything as I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the world, end of the age. He says, therefore go. We can't go, so we send missionaries, and we're looking forward to strengthen our missions program now that we have our own building. We can start having missionaries in to visit us and things there. We do support missionaries in Europe. We support missionaries in Mexico, Germany, and so in England, and so we'd like to add to that. But the thing about it is that, you know, sometimes somebody says, there's a project so-and-so is doing. They're taking a group of people that are construction people to build a church or a hospital or a clinic in some island, maybe Haiti. You think I should go, Pastor? If you got a talent to go and build some things, you ought to go. We ought to serve in our churches. We ought to serve in our community. We ought to serve in the world, using our talents and abilities and resources to make an impact. Remember this, whatever you have, whatever talent you have, whatever resource you have, whatever money you have, you're not taking it with you. So say to God, God, I want my life, this is part of Christian maturity, I want to be a contributor, a servant. I want to find out what needs to be done in the church. Try some things out. You know, maybe you're not made for the children, but try the children's out and you say, I can't take those kids. I mean, I'm an insurance risk to the church if I'm in there any longer, okay? You may not want to work with teenagers. I get that. I mean, I've raised three teenagers, and I've got grandkids that are teenagers. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just... You may not be able to sing the best. You may not be... But you have a talent. You can do some music. You don't... Get involved. Technology. This building, we need people, and we appreciate those that have the skills to take care of the maintenance and grounds and stuff. That's serving. But you might have an area, you say, well, that's not relevant. I don't think, how can you use that in church? We'll find a way. You'd be surprised. Talk to us. Serve your community. Serve your world. Let me give you the walk away. The walk away is this. Fulfillment comes when we serve rather than being served. And I really think we need to drive that home to our kids too. Drive it home to our kids. Now I got to tell you, I'm so proud of a lot of our kids and our teenagers here because they do have an attitude of service. They get that from their parents. And I appreciate this church so much because as I share this message, I look around and I think of a church, everybody in this room, especially as we moved in this building 2 months ago, had a part in this building. To me, but we need to reiterate this, we need to refocus it, we need to make it our marching orders that we serve rather than being served. So, and when you do that, and the Lord calls you home one day, and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory, you want him to be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the reward. Would you bow your heads for just a moment here? This series is important to me, and I actually got the idea from some other places, and I've been blessed by that. I tell young preachers all the time, you need to listen to podcasts and preaching yourself so you can glean from others. When you hear something good, some focus, you need to take it and run with it. But this is week three. We've got a few more weeks to go until the end of June, first part of July. Bottom line is here is that I want us to take the cornerstone plus. The plus is what we add to that cornerstone of Jesus Christ, talks about in Ephesians. So I want you to take that and begin to build upon that. I want you to begin to build upon that, and I want you to begin to be a cultivator, to be a catalyst, and to be a contributor, and serve other people. Serve other people. When you do that, you're going to find fulfillment, joy. If God's given you something, it's simply on loan to you, talent or otherwise, to use for the betterment of His cause. I hope you take that to heart. Take that to heart. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have just brought us together. I pray, Lord, as we do this really one sermon, spread out over 7 weeks is what this is. And as we close it down in a few weeks, Lord, and we give people a chance to respond to it, God, I just pray, Lord, you make us a cultivator, cultivate a relationship with you and cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are a catalyst for change and that we are contributors. We are more about serving than we are about being served. I pray that that is the heartbeat of every individual here, asking, what can we do? Not what can we have done for us. So I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.